Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the gospel text for today, Matthew 27, 11 through 31. Consider this. We think of the Great Wall of China as this formidable barrier. It's a magnificent accomplishment by the Chinese people, of course. But consider that during the first 100 years of the existence of the Great Wall of China, that China itself was invaded 3 times. The wall didn't fail. The failure was in human nature. The invaders got in by bribing the gatekeepers. The Chinese had put too much reliance upon the wall and not enough upon building the character of the gatekeepers. Good character certainly is still an issue today. Before I left the army, we had a new series we were teaching about character. A few years back, there was the whole trial involving the character of Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. It revolved around character, is what it really came down to. People with character problems have abounded throughout history. Character was also an issue in Jesus' days, especially in our text for today. Jesus' innocence and the people's responses to it make for an interesting study in character. We can learn something from studying the actions of the crowd, the actions of the religious leaders, and then again, the reactions of Pilate and Jesus. And we can see some curious examples of character, both good and bad. A look at first the religious leaders shows us that these are people who were supposed to be servants of God, but who were more interested in preserving their Jewish empire and the status quo. Jesus often reveals their wrong motives, theological errors, and misplaced priorities. This embarrasses them as gatekeepers of all religious truth for the Jewish people, and so, of course, they see Jesus as a threat. As a result, the Sanhedrinist incited the crowd to demand the death of Jesus as he stood before Pontius Pilate. You know, a leader is like a radio station's clock. And for those of us who are a little bit older, we used to remember how we would set our watches by the clock that was given to us, the time given to us from the clock of the radio station. Well, that clock is actually much more important because of that. Now we use cell phones instead. But so too with the character of a leader. He sets the pace for our own standards of conduct. We see evidence of this with the crowd at Jesus' trials. Their lack of character led to blind obedience to leadership. The old follow the crowd syndrome, if you will. So point number 2. Following the leader, right or wrong, is easy to do. It happens all the time with the press. They beat on some idea or position until they rally people around them to get the polls to reflect a position that supports their agenda. But does this happen to us? Do we follow the crowd and lack the character to stand on principle and do the right thing when we should? Are we like these people in Jesus' days? The really scary thing about the crowd of the Jews was when they arrogantly accepted responsibility for their participation in Jesus' death by stating that they and their descendants would accept his blood upon their hands. They called down judgment on themselves. In doing this, they took upon themselves a role that is reserved for God and for God alone. Only God is allowed to judge. On top of that, imagine saying that, may the blood of this innocent man be upon our children and not just on ourselves. How do you speak for generations yet to be born? Then there's the most prominent example of character in this text, Pilate. Pontius Pilate. Pilate had the power he needed over this mob. He had soldiers at his disposal to use in dispersing and controlling the crowd. He also had the power of life or death over Jesus. The Jews were not allowed to inflict capital punishment, but the occupying Romans were allowed to do this. Pilate had no reason to cave in to the Jews' request, but he fails to call up his troops. He ignores his wife's plea. As the judge in this situation, Pilate could have declared Jesus to be innocent, but he shows his weakness of character by the act of offering to release Barabbas. It's possible he secretly hoped that the people would come to their senses and have higher ideals or better character themselves than what he was exhibiting. He hoped they would come around. It's possible that he was hoping their consciences would never allow them to have an innocent man like Jesus killed while setting free this treacherous criminal, Barabbas. It's possible he was leaving a way out so that he could ride the fence. In a last-ditch attempt to get the people to back off on their insistence of the death penalty, Pilate then had Jesus flogged, that is, he had him scourged. Maybe he was hoping that if they saw Jesus suffer a little, that would be enough, and that they would then finally back off once they saw the results of their request. However, they didn't. But the people at the hearing had no more backbone than Pilate, and so, alas, Jesus was condemned to the slaughter. Finally, in another moment of arrogant self-righteousness, paralleling that of the crowd, Pilate takes a bowl of water and washes his hands and declares himself to be free of any responsibility for this crime, even though he is the decision maker ultimately. But once again, only God can do that and declare someone innocent. Pilate was not allowed to do that. He obviously must be in violation of his own conscience, because by his own words, he declares that Jesus is not guilty of anything deserving death. As a leader, Pilate lacks character and is quite frankly a coward. Many of us here today are leaders, even if sometimes we think that we aren't. We may lead actually in our job positions wherever we work as a supervisor or something. We may lead in the home as a parent. Parents are leaders. We may lead as a student by some leadership position in a club or by virtue of our popularity. We may lead as a child in a home by virtue of being the oldest or being the older. No matter in what capacity we lead, the question raised by our study of leadership in our text is, are we leaders with character? Or are we sometimes like Pilate and the crowds? Of course we are. We've all failed as leaders. I can think of many times I've failed as a leader. I'm sure you can too, in whatever role you had to lead. Jesus is our last example today in our character study. When confronted by Pilate with the accusations of the Jews, he remains silent. He doesn't honor their charges. He chooses not to dignify the evil nature and absurdity of their false accusations with a response. He expresses his contempt for their outrageous accusations by his silence. How many of us could do what Jesus did? How many of us could remain silent in the face of false accusations? However, in itself, this is not overly impressive. What is impressive is the agenda that Jesus' silence actually promotes. If all that was at stake was Jesus' life, and the issue was the false accusations against him, then he indeed should have said something. He should have spoken up. We are allowed to defend ourselves. He should have confronted Pilate. He should have confronted the Jewish leaders. He should have confronted the masses, the crowd gathered there that day. But he didn't, because of the greater good that his suffering and death was accomplishing and would serve. By staying silent, he lost his life, but he gained ours. His singular death and self-sacrifice secured the hope of the salvation for the entire world. His life paid the price for the sins of the entire world. And that takes character. And in fact, Jesus had the character it took. How do we develop or obtain the kind of character that Jesus has? How do we become like him? Well, we need to know that there are many false teachers and many false theories out there today vying for our attention on how to develop character. I was watching Star Trek Voyager a while back with my family. Kes, one of the characters, was inhabited or controlled by an evil force. I suppose it was their replication in the plot of demon possession. She was the victim of mind control. And at the end, she was trying to recover. They showed a scene of her sitting and meditating with another character, and his name is Tuvok. He was telling her that she must use her mind to rise above the chaos and the turmoil. Use her mind to rise above the chaos and the turmoil she was feeling as she recovered. That line is taken straight out of Buddhist theology. Buddhist theology has as its goal to escape from chaos. The world and the sins in it are chaos, and through mind control, through the control of the mind and thoughts and meditation, Buddhists believe we can rise above our sinful desires, our greed, our malice. It was of interest to see that this theology was being taught in a popular TV program. This example in a TV program is only the tip of the iceberg. The fact is that TV, books, newspapers, and even some professionals, not all, some professionals in the people helping business are teaching many wrong ways to deal with our character and our problems. There are some out there who are Christians and are, however, teaching right ways. To develop character, we can't look to ourselves like this TV program was trying to suggest. Character is not an inner quality that we possess, certainly not apart from Christ. We find the source of good character outside of ourselves. We find the source of good character in our Savior Jesus Christ and in the cross. It's a quality that Christ develops in us as we come to faith, as we grow in faith, as we are filled by the Holy Spirit. This looking to Christ is not always comfortable because it involves something that we don't like to do. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I sometimes struggle with an honest look at myself. I don't like to admit that there are some things I might be able to improve. There are some things I could do better at. It just isn't comfortable to sometimes see myself as the sinner I am. But the first step in developing character involves looking honestly and admitting that we don't have it. We do need to improve, and that we don't find the resources within ourselves to do so, but must turn somewhere else for help. I confess the sins that I can remember, and I then ask God to show me my sins. I ask him to empower me to look past the pain of an honest look at myself, because I know that if I let the pain scare me off, then I will never grow spiritually as my Lord wants me to. I will not experience the relationship with him that he wants me to have, at least not the depth of it. And it is through our relationship with Christ that we find the character we desire. We find it in two ways. The most important way we find good character is not even due to us or anything about us. It's like a piece of small paper that is placed in a book. The paper has an identity all of its own, separate from the book. I can take this piece of paper out of the book. The paper was not intended necessarily to be in the book. So let's say the book is then mailed to another person. The paper was not intended to be there, but it had been put in the book, folded up smaller than this so it could not be hidden and seen. But it is in the book and it is mailed to somebody. So where's the paper? Obviously, wherever the book goes and whatever the book goes through, the paper will also. If the book has a good-looking cover, the piece of paper in it may have an ink stain, it may have tears in it, it may be slightly damaged or old, but it is still in the book. And the appealing cover of the book overshadows or hides the dirty, damaged, ink-stained nature of the piece of paper put in the book. Jesus is like a book with a good-looking cover. And we are the paper in the book. And because we believe in Jesus, of course, we are in the book. Being in the book would represent having faith in Jesus. As we have come to the Lord in repentance and faith, the Heavenly Father, by the power of His Holy Spirit working through the Word, puts us in the book as He creates faith in our hearts. As we have come to the Lord in repentance and faith, we are now in the book. We share and experience what the book goes through. The Bible says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." When Christ was crucified, those who are in Him, in the book, died and received all that He went through, including the deliverance from the bondage of sin and the bondage of our bad character. We share also in Christ's good character. Jesus had the character that we lack, and Jesus, the Christ, loves characters. He was the one who didn't revile or hate those who had abused and accused Him. In fact, His words from the cross were where He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These indicate that Jesus doesn't require us to have good character to gain His love and forgiveness. God the Father saw the character of His Son, and that was enough. Jesus' character, His good character, is credited to be ours through faith. Thus, God sees us as having Jesus' character, even though it's not really our character. It's credited to us. His righteousness is declared to be ours because we are in Him, the book. The final way we find good character is in our spiritual growth. As we grow in our relationship to Jesus, He shapes us. He enlightens us. He motivates and empowers us to become more like Him. And of course, in the process, we develop the truly best character, and that is Christ-like character. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.